Genesis chapter 17. Oh, I'm sorry, Exodus chapter 17. Quite a book difference. Sorry about that. Exodus chapter 17. Was thinking a lot about this message the last couple of weeks. I'm going to preach this about a week ago, and the Lord had me preach A Treasure in the Field last week, and so it's been kind of on the burner a little bit here. This morning, I kind of wanted to pay tribute, and you're going to know the story in just a few moments, but kind of give tribute to those who work behind the shadows of the church. There are two kinds of people, if you want to put it that way, in the local independent Bible-believing Baptist church. That's those that are in the limelight. That would be a pastor. That would be a deacon. I mean, they have rightful positions, if you will, God-called positions, and they may hold different things. And that could maybe be a bus captain. That could perhaps be a Sunday school teacher and so forth. They share a little bit of limelight. They have a little bit of limelight. They are leading something, if you will, by God's call. And they may have a tendency to get a little bit of credit, and that's not a bad thing either. But this morning, I want to take a moment or a few minutes here, and I want to take time. And again, I thank God for those men and women that surround their preacher and helping them do the work of the ministry. I'm talking about those that maybe teach a class and serve alongside the preacher and as a deacon and different things like that. I thank God for that. But I want to zoom in this morning a little bit on those that work behind the shadows. Talking about those that, you know, just a few weeks ago we had VBS and we had a great week at VBS. A lot of great things happened that week. People got saved and just a wonderful spirit and so forth. And of course, you had your limelight people because you have to have people that lead it. If not, it'd be chaos. Amen. But you had the preacher here, and Brother Robles, who spearheaded that particular ministry, was here, and other workers and different things. But there are others that you probably would not have even known. I happen to know they were here, and I'd walk through, and the very best that I can, I try to say thank you. I try to not to miss anybody because I understand the bigness of every position. And I know that there was some that you wouldn't have even known that was here that week, but they were here every week, just behind the shadows. They weren't looking at, saying, look at me. You know, what about me? I did, you know, they weren't looking for that. They were just behind the shadows, just doing what God's called them to do and doing what they could do. And them are the ones I want to kind of zoom in on this morning and say thank you. Yes, I thank every single one. Everybody, no matter what position it is, there's no wrong position in the local church. I mean, whether it be cleaning, you know, you may think, well, I clean the building, great. Thank you. I just teach a few little kids here, praise the Lord, thank you for that. I drive a bus, thank you very, very much. And I always have considered the bus drivers really the most important part or the most important position of the bus ministry, for without you, the kids couldn't get here. You know, but I come in and, you know, maybe I do a little bit of repair work here and there, and I want to say thank you very much. I come in maybe on an off day and nobody knows that I'm here, and I want to say thank you very, very much for the work that you do. It may not be a limelight position, it may not be a fanfare position, it may not be a kind of position, and you're not looking for that. Truth of the matter is, God's the one that keeps track, amen? He's the one that really is important in it all. But let me just read our text in I'll get the right book. I know where I'm at. Exodus chapter 17. And let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. We will read responsively verses 8 through 13. 8 through 13, I think, for now. Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 13. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he had let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek, and his people with the edge of the sword. Our Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for the music that we've been able to sing this morning and all that's been done here this morning. We thank you for the Spirit in this place. I pray, dear God, now that you'd use me this morning once again. I pray, God, you'd give me clarity of thought. I pray you'd speak through me. Lord, I want to give people my heart as I always do this morning. I want to be a help. I want to try to be a blessing to somebody this morning. I pray, dear God, that you'd use me as your vessel this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This particular time was a very important moment in the life of the nation of Israel. As they are journeying to the promised land, they are faced with the first of many encounters with the armies of Amalek. The armies of Amalek, if you will, were a nomadic tribe that was a constant thorn in the side of Israel. In this first battle, they prove their nature by conducting an unprovoked attack against God's people. And this prompts the Lord God to promise the total annihilation, that's what I wanted to say, the total vanquishment or just defeat, if you will, of the Amalekites, and that promise was later fulfilled. In this story, in this particular passage, or in this account, if you will, you see some names mentioned. You see the man of God, Moses, mentioned. He is a man, if you will, that is in the limelight. By the way, he didn't ask for the limelight. He was on the backside of the desert, and God had called him. And he tried to get out of it, if you remember. But God had called him to be one of the greatest, if not the greatest, leader of all time, when you think about it. And he's in the limelight, and he's one of the people mentioned. You see, Aaron was the high priest. And, you know, he had a position, if you will, and he was quite well known, if you will, as well. And then you also see Joshua mentioned, the future leader of Israel, a great general, a great leader in his own right mentioned. But you also see a man by the name of Hur. There's not much said about him. Two or three different times in the Bible, you see that his name is mentioned. This is the first. Rumor has it, or just in my assumption, and I'm not quite 100% sure of this, but I think maybe he might have been the husband of Miriam, Aaron and Moses' sister. And maybe that's one reason why he was with Moses. I don't know, but the fact of the matter is, there's not a whole lot said about her. So this morning, I'm going to preach on the subject, thank God for guys like her. I want to zoom in on this one man that, yes, Moses is very important. Aaron is a very important position. Joshua is a very important position. But the truth of the matter is, the role that Hur had this particular day in this particular event was very important in the early history of the great nation of Israel. And I'm going to zoom in on him for just a little while this morning, and I thank God for him. I thank God for the lessons that he has taught me, this preacher. And I say early on in my message this morning, thank God if you are a her this morning. You see, not all of you are going to preach a message, if you will, and that's not what God's called you to do. Not all of you perhaps will teach a Sunday school class and may not be what God has called you to do. And not all of you will go ahead and maybe have all the limelight positions and so forth. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but some of you can be a her. And I want to go ahead and say thank you to the hers this morning. You'll know what I'm talking about here in just a moment. And most all of us, if not all of us, know this story very well, that her played a very important role this particular day. He comes out and he seems to step out of nowhere. He does a great work and then kind of disappears into the shadows again. People recognize again the man of God Moses and Joshua's and the others, if you will, as role models, Aaron. But there's also a man that I also believe was a true hero this day. His name is Hur, and I'm going to go ahead and look at this behind the scenes kind of guy. I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to do it. Ron, come up here. I'm going to do it, and I don't think this will be a very long message, but Ron is going to represent Moses in this particular chapter. All right? It's all right. I appreciate Ron. He's our youth leader. Appreciate this man. He loves your teenagers, by the way, very, very much. And he's going to represent Moses. And we know the story here. Moses goes ahead and instructs Joshua, choose out men. Get some men and go out and fight with Amalek. And Moses says, tomorrow I'm going to go up on the top of the hill with the rod of God. and with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua, great leader, great follower too. He didn't become a great leader until he became a great follower, by the way. But Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and he fought with Amalek, the Bible says. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Went up to the top of the hill, and it came to pass that when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. When Moses, that's a sign of intercession, Moses would go ahead and hold up his hand. And when he did that, Israel would go ahead and be making ground, and they would be prevailing against the armies of Amalek. But when his hands became unsteady, you know, kind of fell and so forth, Amalek would go ahead and prevail. So Aaron and Hur, we know, that was with Moses on top of the hill. So Cody, come on up here a minute. Chris, why don't you come on up here a minute, too? Two of Brother Ron's youth, teenagers, if you will. We got to do it today, though, guys, all right? All right? You know, a lot of stuff going on today, all right? Okay? But, Cody, I'll have you go ahead, and you can be Aaron over there, and you're going to be over here and be Hur, okay? Hur. Okay? You'll be the Hur for just a moment. We're going to do this, and just hopefully it'll work out, my illustration, if they'll go ahead and ride along with me, okay? And these guys definitely are not smart Alexes, anyways. But you know what? But there was some instruction by Moses, a man of God, to his young leader, General Joshua, to go ahead and choose out men that would go ahead and go fight with him. And Moses goes up to the top of the hill with the rod of God and with Aaron and Hur. I'm not going to say a whole lot about this guy over here this morning because he is more well-known than this guy. You know, Aaron, you know, he's the high priest, and he has a position, and he's a little more well-known. The people of Israel knew when you heard the name Aaron, they knew that, yeah, he's Aaron. I know who Aaron is, the high priest and so forth. But this is a guy I want to kind of zoom in on. You know, I'm not going to say a whole lot about Moses. Of course, he was the man of God. God chose him to lead the people out of Egypt, out of the world, if you will, into the promised land. He was God called and so forth. And he's a very important man by all means. You know what? Every church needs a leader. Every team needs a coach. Every country needs a president, if you will. You need leadership and so forth. And in this case, he's a God-called man. He was a God-called man as well. But you don't know much about her. There's not a whole lot said, if you will, about her. Her was the behind-the-scenes kind of guy. Her was kind of the guy, if you will, that maybe you know, he'd show up when nobody else knew, and you know, he might work on a bus and do a little tinkering on a bus, and nobody really knows about it. He might come, maybe sweep off a bus throughout the week. Her might have been one of these guys that you know, just came in and didn't know anybody. Nobody knew. Maybe the preacher didn't even know he was coming in, but he'd come in and maybe do some work around the church and clean a little bit and so forth, and maybe do a little bit of repair work or what have you. You know, there's not a whole lot of limelight with this particular guy, but he's a very important guy. And by the way, in the sight of God, he's just as important as this man and this man. Everybody is important, if you will, in the sight of God. And Ur played a very important role this particular day. A man who no one really knew much about, he might have been the man when someone said, Hur, who's Hur? You know, again, you got to think of the millions of people in Israel now. Okay, not everybody probably knew everybody real intimately, if you will. There's a lot of people in the nation of Israel, but he might have been one of them guys that her who, you know, who did that? I'm not quite sure, you know, whatever the case may be. But he was a man, if you will, that not a whole lot of people knew anything about. But he enabled the nation of Israel to have a great victory. So this morning, if you're her under the sound of my voice, I early on say again, thank you for all that you do. Thank you for not really being the one, and you're not asking for it. You're not the one that gets all the hand claps, if you will. You're not the one that necessarily gets all the name recognition, if you will. You're not the one that the spotlight necessarily is shining on you. You may not necessarily lead a ministry in the church, but you serve a very important role in the church, and for that I say thank you. It may be that all you can do, and this is a wonderful ministry, in and of itself. And I know there's many under the sound of my voice that are like this because you tell me that you do this. You come to church, you have your place in the church, and you say, preacher, I'm there. I listen to the messages. I sing the songs along the way as I'm sitting there. I'm praying for my preacher. Hey, that's a her kind of job, and I covet your prayers, and for that I say thank you. It might be that you're the one that just, again, a whole host of other positions, if you will, that you do a whole host of other things that this preacher can't do all by himself. I don't have the time necessarily to go ahead and do all these things by myself. And that's why we delegate different jobs, to try to do all that we can for the cause of Christ. But you may look at it, it's very, my job, my position's very insignificant. But it's not. And even though you may not get necessarily all the hand claps and the high fives, so to speak, I do want to say thank you this morning. You're those that enable those of us who had the limelight to be able to do what we're called to do. If I didn't have you hers on the side of your preacher, praying for your preacher, I wouldn't have the strength to be able to do what I do. If our deacons and other leaders in our church didn't have some hers along the way saying, I'm praying for you, whatever, what can I do to help you in your ministry or what have you, you know what? They wouldn't be able to accomplish all, if you will, that God would want them to do. So if you're a her, this morning, the message is about you. And this morning, I want to say thank you for who you are and the role that you have. So what is it about, why is it that I thank God for guys like her? Number one, these guys are invaluable. This particular guy, oh, important position. He's the high priest. Important position. We got to have the leader, Moses, a very important position. But you know what? A guy like this is very, very, very important. Guy like this, you know, these guys are irreplaceable, but a guy like this, man, you know what? He too is very, very irreplaceable. You know, in our text, we find that Moses, he's holding up his hands and hold up your hands, okay? Just kind of play. He's holding up his hands, and boy, Israel's prevailing, if you will. Israel's winning at this time. But you know what? Moses is an aged man. He gets tired, and you know what? You hold your hands up for a certain amount of time. You know what? They start getting tired. So Aaron and Hur, if you will, was with Moses on top of the hill. Moses had the rod of God in his hand. Sorry, I didn't get your rod, but the rod of God in your hand and so forth, and he was up there, and his arm of getting tired, and they go ahead and they got a boulder there, a rock, if you will, and kind of leaned up against the rock and so forth, overlooking the battle and so forth. He's raising up his hands are getting tired and so forth. Aaron and Hur, you know, they noticed that, boy, you know, when his hands went down, hey, Amalek's a winning, but when his hands are up, boy, Israel's a winning. And you know, obviously they're on the winning side, they want to win this battle and so forth. So you know, when his hands get tired, what does Aaron and Hur do what you're supposed to do? You help hold up the hands of the man of God. You hold them up. Important. Again, I'm not going to zoom so much on him. He's pretty well known. But you know what? This guy, you know what? He was irreplaceable. All of these guys are irreplaceable. They're invaluable, if you will. And they're the ones that noticed that the man of God was in trouble. So they stepped in and they leaned him up against a rock, if you will. And he goes ahead and holds up his hand. His hands were tired. And they stayed up his hands, one on one side, one on the other. You know, these guys, her, if you will, is not the kind of guy that said, you know, why am I here? You know, I got things to do. You know, I got things to do, and I'm here, I am. How long is this battle going to be? You know, I got my family back at camp. You know, he was not complaining. He was not griping about where he was. He was not fussing about his position. He maybe stood there. I know he stood there for a long time holding up the man of God's hands, but not one time will you see that he was fussing and complaining about it. Not one time say, well, why doesn't somebody else from the camp go ahead and show up and help us out a little bit? No. You know what, this guy, he saw what needed to be done. He says, you know what? I can hold up the man of God's hands. I can go ahead and help him. You know, the task of her may not seem very much to the average Christian, but had it not been for this man's dedication to the work of God in Moses, Moses would have not had the strength to do his job, and Joshua would not have been able to lead the tribe or Israel to victory, if you will. There was a lot at stake at this moment. You know, there are souls, there are lives that were at stake at this moment. And had Aaron and Hur not been there, had Aaron and Hur just kind of sat there and said, ho-hum, well, there's nothing to do and so forth. And the man of God's in trouble. And you know what? His hands are tired. And you know what? If he doesn't get his hands up, he's going to go ahead and lose the war. But these guys, Hur and Aaron, went ahead and they saw the man of God in trouble. They said, you know, I can step in and I'm going to help out the man of God. And as a result, a great victory was won that day. Because of a couple volunteers said, I can't do much, but I know I can help him in that area. I can go ahead and help him in that area. You know, had they not showed up and been in their place, many casualties there would have been that day. The job they performed were absolutely invaluable. They were very, very important. It's the same is true today in the church today. Yes, you need the man of God. Yes, you need the Aarons. Yes, you need the Joshuas. Yeah, and they're the limelight kind of guys, if you will. They're those that will get the credit, if you will. And by the way, they're not looking for the credit, but they generally will get the credit. They had the limelight and so forth. They're those that are seen. They are the ones that get the headline-grabbing work of the ministry, if you will. But behind every one of those men, there's an army of hers that's praying for them. There's an army of hers that if it wasn't for their prayers, they couldn't have the success, so to speak, that they would have in their ministry had it not been for her. Moses would not have had the success had it not been for this man. Your job is very important. You too are very invaluable. The hers are those that say, preacher, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for the church. The hers are those that are steady day in and day out, Sunday in, Sunday out, Sunday morning in, Sunday morning out, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And when church doors are open, the hers are those that find their place in their pew, say, preacher, I'm praying for you. Hey, preacher, I'm just giving you a call to let you know I'm praying for you. Hey, preacher, sometimes I get a little letter with a Dunkin' Donuts card in there or a couple dollars or whatever. Go get yourself a coffee or whatever. A little letter, say, preacher, I'm praying for you. I thank you. You know what? And all of you hers, you are invaluable to me. You're invaluable to the cause of Christ. You're invaluable. You're important to the work of Faith Baptist Church. You seek the Lord's face on my behalf, and for that I say thank you. You seek God's face, and you pray for the power and the man of God, and for that I say thank you. And you're not in the limelight, and you're not getting all the credit, but you're not worried about that. But you say, you know, I can do what I am able to do, and I can go ahead and hold that man of God's hands up so that the work of Christ can be done. Every task in the church is important. I'm sure you're all getting tired, so you may put them down for a minute. Okay? But Aaron, you're important. Moses, you're important. Yeah, you got to lead the whole army of Israel, man. You know what? Moses, you're important. You know, you're the high priest. You pray for these. You lead these folks in worship. You pray for these guys. You know what? You're important. Her? I don't know much about you, but I saw you come and work on the bus the other day. I don't know much about you, her, but I see you out there in your place every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I don't know much about you, her, but you sent me a little note the other day saying, preacher, I'm praying for you. I don't know much about you, her, but you called me the other day and said, hey, preacher, I just want you to know that I love you and I pray for you. I'm praying for the ministries. I'm praying for Brother Blaine. I'm praying for Brother Joe. I'm praying for our Sunday school teachers. Her, I don't know much about you, but thank you for what you can do for the cause of Christ. Every task is important. Every single one of you hold a very important part in the local, I'll just say, Faith Baptist Church. Our church would be nothing if it weren't for those who spend time praying for the leadership and for the ministries, for souls to be saved. The preacher would be nothing if it wasn't for the hers that are among us today. Thank you. God bless every one of you servants of God who stand in the gap. You know what? People like her. Why do I thank God for people like her? They're invaluable. They're very important. Number two, they're always involved. We just read So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Let me just read verse 12. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, one on one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. You know what? A guy like Hur is always involved. A guy like Hur, you know, they see the need. Hur saw that Moses, man, the man of God's in need. You know what? I'm not able to do much, but I can hold up his hands. You know, he stepped in. He got involved. He committed himself to the task, if you will. He committed himself to the work of God. He committed himself to whatever it is his hand finds to do. He did it with his might, if you will. He committed himself. It may not be a seemingly small task. It may not be very big, but he says, you know what? I can do that. God has given me a certain talent or a certain ability. I don't want to squander that, so I can go ahead and do that for the cause of Christ. He can go ahead and do that. Hur was not a great leader like a Moses. Hur was not a great general like a Joshua. Hur was not necessarily a great, high priest like an Aaron. He was just Hur. He was a man who was not focused on what he can't do, but he was zoomed in on what he can do for God. He was a man who did not look at his limitations as an excuse not to do something for God, but chose to take the ability that God gave him and said, God, I can do that. I'll do it. It's not the highlight position. It's not the limelight position. It's not the, hey, good job, man. It's not the credit position necessarily. But you know what? I can take what God has given me to do. And you know what? I can hold up some hands of the man of God. So I'm going to go ahead and do it. You know what? This man was involved. The Bible later says that he became a man of influence among the people. I kind of wonder, and again, I don't know necessarily if he was married into the family, if you will, of Moses. I'm not quite sure. There's indications that he was. But maybe it was this particular act right here that caused him to have influence. I don't know. I know that God will bless those who do work for him. The Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. You know, here's a man that delighted himself in the Lord, and God went ahead and gave him desires. God went ahead and blessed him, if you will. But you know what? He understood maybe that little as much was when God is in it. You know, and as a result of his little thing, you know what? Later on, God gave him some influence. Let me read Exodus. Exodus chapter 24. You want to turn to it? I'm going to read a verse over in verse 14. The Bible says this, and he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. You know, somewhere along the way after this, Hur had a bit of influence. But you know what? He knew on this particular day, though, regardless of influence or not, regardless of position or not, you know, I may not be able to do much, but I can hold up the man of God's hands. You know what? He was involved. You know, the happiest people I know are those that just roll up their sleeves and just get involved in the work of God. You know, the best fellowship that this preacher has is just when we have things going on at the church, whether it be a work day or whether it be this or that or soul winning or whatever. You know, that's some of the best fellowship I have. You know what? The happiest Christians, the happiest church members, the happiest Christians I know are those that just get involved in the work. Not everyone, again, is going to preach the great messages. Not everyone's going to go ahead and maybe run a particular ministry. Not everyone's going to necessarily sing a solo in front of the church, or they may not sing in the choir, what have you. Not everyone will necessarily have the visible jobs, but we need to remember that God has placed us in his body in a place that pleases him. You know what? You may think it's insignificant what you do. But God looks down and says, you know what? You're doing what I've asked you to do. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. He's pleased. Let me just stop and say this, though. Don't let that go ahead and be an excuse to not do more, though. Some will go ahead, and I know how this works. Some will go ahead and take a message like this and say, well, you know what? I can be a Hur and maybe, you know, just do the less is least, if you will, that we possibly can. Now, I'm encouraging everybody, you do everything, do all that you can for God. If this is where you could go, and that's where God wants to be, and that's as far as you can go, whatever, then do it. But you know what? If God impresses upon your heart, the Holy Spirit impresses upon your heart to say, you know what, maybe you could start door knocking. Maybe you could step in a little bit and be a bus worker. Maybe you could step in a little bit and maybe help in a Sunday school class. Maybe you could step in a little bit and take that first step, go to the preacher and say, preacher, what do you need me to do? Maybe you could do that. You know, some people are just intimidated. I don't bite. I just want you to know that. I'm not scary. But you know, it might be some don't go to the preacher. I don't know. You know, I'm very easy to get along with. But the truth of the matter is maybe you could do a little bit more. But you know what? Zooming back to this man right here, I want to say thank you to all you hers. You doing everything that you possibly can do for God. You know, people like her are invaluable. They're important. They're irreplaceable. You guys are too, but you are. People like her are involved. Boy, they're busy. They're involved. They can't wait to get to the next service. They find themselves to doing whatever it is they can for God. And people like her are often the invisible ones. I don't know where her came from. You don't see them before this. They've already been well on their journey for a little while, and you know, you don't see a whole lot about her before this. But you know what? People like her generally are the invisible. They're the behind-the-scenes kind of guys. Her was not mentioned again before this incident, and he was mentioned very few times after this particular incident. Her lived in the shadows while others received the glory. He was unseen, invisible in the crowd. Some, as I mentioned a moment ago, might have said, her who? Who's her? Her was up on the, huh? Yeah, I saw three guys, Moses and I saw Aaron, but I don't know who that other guy was. It might be a question, who is this guy? Her, you know, picture with me a minute. The battle's over. For just a moment, the battle's over. The victory's been won by Israel. Joshua comes back to camp. Joshua led the nation of Israel, if you will, to victory and so forth. And as Joshua comes marching back, maybe the band is playing and everybody's hooting and hollering, yeah, good, and clapping, and good job, and high-fiving. No one's up here, Joshua, but high-fiving Joshua and patting him on the back. Good job, man. Woo! You know, Joshua, you did good. People see the man of God, Moses, thank you. God, thank you, Moses, for thank you for following the will of God and going up there. And I know you were tired, Moses, and you held your hands up and you did what God wanted you to do. And because you were following the leadership of God in your life, you know, we saw victory. Moses, man, thank you, man. You're awesome, man. You're awesome. But her comes back to camp, tired, weary. Perhaps goes to his tent, lays down. He's tired of all the events of the day. He stood there for a long time holding the man of God's hands up. And that too is pretty tiring in and of itself when you think about it. His hands were heavy, but they stood there a long time. I mean, their arms had to have gotten tired too. He was weary. Her comes back and no one's pat him on the back saying, good job. No one went ahead and, hey, her, come here. And by the way, her, through humility, didn't say, hey, I was up there too. Hey, what about me? No, I don't see that in her. I don't see that in her. You know, he just very quietly and humbly goes back to his tent, lays down. They're having a victory celebration outside and clapping those who deservedly get some credit and so forth. And again, there's a first line, there's a second line. Totally understandable. But her very humbly just goes back to his tent. No fanfare, there's no claps for him, no pats on the back. There's no one, maybe his wife said, good job, honey. But no one really noticed, if you will. In fact, there are only a couple people who knows what he did that day. But the most of the time, a her is just someone that's behind the scenes, invisible. They don't really see. They're not really known, if you will. You know, tells me it's amazing what God will do with a person who cares not who gets a credit. How often we want, you know, our pride stuff to, I had a big part of that. No, it's not fair. You know, the man of God gets that, the pastor gets that, and deacon gets that, and Moses and Aaron, and, you know, look at, you know, Aaron, you can see Aaron out there. He's thanking God and leading the congregation in prayer after the celebration and thanksgiving to God and so forth, you know, so he had some recognition, but, you know, what about her? It's amazing what God will do with that humble servant of God who cares not who gets a credit. God will use those who don't sit there with a chip. You know, I don't do anything for God anymore because the preacher did not mention my name. Let me just ask you a question. Who are you doing it for? Who are you driving that bus for? Just who are you? Who are you teaching that class for? Just who are you going out knocking on doors and telling people about Jesus? Who are you doing that for? To go ahead and get another notch in your belt? A little another star in your crown or what have you? Say, look at him or her had so many souls saved this year. Look at him or her, boy, took a little class and grew it to a big number. Look at him or her, you know, they're a great bus driver. They're a great, took a bus route and took it from one and built it to 30. You know, look at him. Ask you, who are you doing the work of God for? God knows. You know what, her, listen. Before you get upset, don't get it, you know, and again, I do the very best I can. I hope. I try to be noticeable, if you, and try to notice, if you will, those seemingly little things, and I certainly do my best to come by and say thank you for doing that. Appreciate you and your ministry, and you very humbly, how often you say, you know, I didn't do that much. Oh, yeah, you did. Well, let me just stop and say this. It matters not what man thinks. It matters what God thinks. Her understood that. Her figured that out. You know, the people like her are often invisible. They're often involved. They're often invaluable. They are very invaluable. You two guys, you can be seated. Thank you. Stay here for a moment. This is my last point right here. You know, I like this particular point because it's kind of the theme of my whole ministry. That theme is trying to do everything we can to reach the next generation for the cause of Christ. I don't think this guy, can you stand over here a minute? He didn't realize the importance of that day. He was there. You know, the one that God uses are the ones that show up. I mean, he was there. Maybe under the direction of him, but he was there and he saw trouble. I think, you know, Aaron and her stepped in and helped the man of God. But I think here, you know, also people like her are investors. You'll be amazed what your seemingly little job, your seemingly little title, if you want to put it that way, maybe that seemingly thankless job will do for somebody else. More notice you than you think. Hey, cleaner of the church, more notice than you think. I just drive a bus. Hey, you know what? More people notice that than you think. I just come and just putter around the church. More people notice than you think. As her lived his life and did simply what God wanted him to do, I think that there was somebody else watching. I'm going to point it out in just a moment. See, later on, God had needed somebody to build a tabernacle and provide a place where the Lord could meet with his people in the wilderness. When God looked down and saw those millions of Israelites, he zoomed in on one particular young man. His name was Bezalel. Turn to Exodus 31. Say, preacher, who's Bezalel? We're going to see it right here. The Lord spake unto Moses, 31:1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. Bezaleel was the grandson of Hur. Could it be? I wasn't there. But just give me a little liberty here for a second. Could it be that there was a young little toddler in the tribe of Judah back yonder years before when the battle of Amalek was going on? Moses went up to the top of the hill with Aaron and Hur with the rod of God and so forth. Could it be that Hur had a little grandson down there running around? Where's Grandpa? Where's Grandpa? Nana, Mama, Dada, where's Grandpa? Oh, he's with Moses. Oh. Could it be that this, I don't know how old, that this little grandson happened to see when he was a little boy his grandpa up there on the mount, Aaron over here holding up one side, Hur on the other side of the man of God holding up his hands, and as young boys do when they see mama or daddy or grandpa and grandpa, grandkids generally do this. I can't wait to be with granddaddy. And could it be that that little boy, that's my grandpa. That's my grandpa. He's helping the man of God. He's up there. He's holding the man of God's hand. And maybe he didn't totally understand it at that time. But he understood that Moses, man of God, Aaron's a high priest. Granddaddy's up there. I don't know why he's there, perhaps. But he's holding up the man of God's hands. And as a result of that one little act, Israel won. Israel prevailed. They got the victory. Could it be? Say what you want. You say you were preaching, you're speculating. Well, whatever. Could it be? Could it be? Because I know how it works. I've seen how it works. I know how important, you know, I know how important my position is. If I go ahead and blow it, you know, I likely will hurt somebody underneath me. As a dad, if I go ahead and blow it, I could very well hurt one, if not all of my children, and hurt my family. As a Sunday school teacher, if I go ahead and blow it, I know that, man, what happened to brother so-and-so? Whatever happened to Miss so-and-so? Man, they were serving faithful, but whatever. They're not there anymore. And I know how that could affect somebody else. You'll be surprised what them little kids, what you mean to them young kids in this church going on right now. You'll be surprised what you think maybe seemingly, it's just I'm just holding up a hand. You'd be surprised with some of these little children saying, and they're looking at you. Hur, you're important. What was Hur doing? Later on, God needed a tabernacle built. Bezaleel was one of the craftsmen to help build it. Could it be a beautiful picture of a granddaddy, maybe to his son, his grandson, passing on his faith? Little is much when God is in it. You never know what your little, seemingly little act in the church. I just come warm a pew. I pray for the preacher. Thank you. That's very important. I just cleaned the church. It's not just. You get to clean the house of God. Do you understand that? Your job is so very important in the life of somebody else. The life of someone that's coming under you. Moms and dads, sometimes I don't think we quite understand the importance of our child rearing. Rearing them for the cause of Christ. Teaching them, well, they ought to know, mom and dad, that you're a godly mama and a godly daddy through your prayer life. They ought to know that you love God, and they ought to, you know, and this, I've said it time and time again, it's okay if they stumble across you maybe in a living room, not because you're being boastful, not because you're trying to be a show or whatever, but if they stumble across, or maybe they hear you in the next room begging God, oh God, you place a hedge of protection about my son, you place a hedge of protection about my daughters, take care of my wife, oh God, and you're praying to God, and you're praying for protection for your family, and yeah, they ought to know, daddy, that you're a godly man. They ought to know that the church is important to you. They ought to know that your Bible reading is important to you. Hey, they ought to see God in you. And you know what you're doing? You're passing your faith on. And you're getting it in their minds that my daddy's godly. My mama loves the Lord. They've got a proper marriage. They go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Nothing else takes the place of it because God is first and foremost. And boy, that speaks volumes to the next generation. What if her didn't show up? Moses, not today. I got things to do. And you say, well, I guarantee someone's being critical right now. I mean, you're speculating a lot. I just wonder, though. I don't think I am because I have seen, I've been in the ministry long enough to see how important each and every godly title position is because it does, what you do does affect those following you. I see the truth, that truth all through this particular point. People like her were investing more than you know. Even if his grandson didn't see it, I guarantee you somebody did. But later on, a man by the name of Bezalel, God had his eyes focused upon that man later on. Bezalel was the grandson of her. Didn't know your granddad, huh? Hey, Grandpa. But you know what? Bezalel was very important in the building of the church in the will and the tabernacle. And I just wonder if it's because. I just wonder if he was a godly man because one day he might have saw his granddaddy alongside the man of God holding up the man of God's hands. My granddaddy loves God. I want to be like my granddaddy. My dad loves God, and it might have been that he was passing on to the next generation, to the next generation. Timothy and Paul, I think of that. The same commit thou. The things that you have heard of me, Timothy, Paul says, you do the same. The same commit thou to faithful men. Timothy, here, I give you my faith. I'm going to die in just a little while. Here's my faith. Take my Bible. Take my standards. Take my music. Here. And you know what, Timothy? Not just that. You apply that to your life. But you go ahead and you pass it on to the next generation. And her, even though that was New Testament, you just never know. This man was just simply in his place doing what he has to do. He may not have been the most talented man. He wasn't a man of limelight. He may not have had a whole lot of talent, so to speak, or a lot of charisma, so to speak. But you know what? He was with the man of God, and he knew he could do what he could do. He didn't focus in on what he can't. He says, you know what? I can help the man of God. I can at least go ahead and maybe drive a bus or do whatever. In a sense, I could take the man of God's hands. Hold on my hand. I can help the man of God. There's no unimportant duties. If you're a her this morning, thank you very much. You need to see her. I know, under the sound of my voice, there's a lot of hers. Your preacher thanks you. If I miss it once in a while and say, well, I wish preacher, you know, I don't mean to. But understand this, God's keeping track. God knows. But I know under the sound of my voice, there's a lot of hers. You know, there's some that have the limelight. They're downstairs right now teaching classes and doing different things, teen church, and some had already been out behind, you know, just working this morning already, bringing people to church and so forth. And yeah, they're kind of in the limelight, and that's part of it. But I know this. Some hers here this morning, you've been praying all through this message, this service this morning for your preacher. Thank you. You've been praying for your preacher and for your church all week long and for the other leadership in the church all week long. For that, I say, thank you. I clean the church. Thank you. I just come down and just puttered around and took the talent with my hands and maybe built something or did something. Thank you. Thank you. You weren't asking for anything. You weren't asking for the claps. You didn't get the applause. You didn't. Someone maybe not a notice or whatever. God did. And I just want to say as your preacher, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, and I love you. Just as much as I love the folks downstairs doing stuff, I love you and I thank you. Thank you for your invaluability. Thank you for your involvement. Thank you for your investment. Thank you. If you're her, thank you. Maybe you're here today, though, you are a her, but you're getting a little bitter. Well, I did that and no one noticed. You're about ready to quit because of it. Stop and think before you do. Because somebody will watch that action. And your poor decision may go ahead and have an adverse effect on somebody that truly has an admiration for you. They see your faithfulness and this and that. They've seen you maybe do things. They maybe never came and gave you any credit, but they're following these. Boy, that man, that lady, that person, boy, they're in their place every week. Boy, there's something to say. Boy, you know, I see them. Boy, you know, and they kind of mark that, so to speak, in their mind. But, you know, the preacher doesn't notice this. I did this. The preacher did this. No, it didn't happen. Whatever. And you're ready to quit. First of all, I'm sorry if I missed you. But God didn't. God knows what you've done for him. God's keeping track. If you're here today, maybe you got a little bitter. You're her. You showed up. You did it. But, man, I don't think I could serve anymore because. Come on, let's get off the little pedestal here a little bit. Let's look at the big picture. And don't quit. Her, you're serving faithfully. You're not looking for the accolades. You're not looking for this. You're not looking for the high fives. Thank you. Even I thank you for those that, man, you're maybe a little just upset. I did this and nobody saw it. So what? So what? God did. Boy, you know what? You just keep on pressing on. You keep on doing what you're supposed to do and keep on using the ability that God has given you for the cause of Christ. This wasn't necessarily a salvation message, but I just want to at least say this. Maybe here today you don't know Jesus as Savior. Boy, today's a good day to know Jesus. Every day is a good day to know Jesus. If here today you don't know Jesus as Savior, you know what? We would love the opportunity. You don't know if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven. We would love the opportunity to show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. If here today you get that void, you say, preacher, I just don't know. I don't know. I don't know. But I want to know. And you say it all the time. And you preach it all the time. And you say that the Word of God can tell us that we can know. And it does. If here today you've got that unsurety in your life about salvation, boy, I urge you, won't you walk down that aisle? There's nothing embarrassing about that. Shake my hand. They preach, I want to know for sure I'm on my way to heaven without a doubt. We'll have a soul winner from show you from the Word of God how you can be saved. If that's you this morning, but I urge you, don't linger that particular decision. Come forward, shake my hand. Maybe you've been here for a long time, but you've got that unsurety. I don't know. Maybe you've heard it. You've heard the plan of salvation, but you know you need to be saved. Why don't you make that decision today? take it today. You know, the truth of the matter is, we're not, you know, I'm not trying to put the fear of God in anybody, but we're not guaranteed a 1 o'clock hour today. We're not. Today's a day of salvation. If you're here today, you don't know Christ. Boy, you don't make it the day of salvation. We won't embarrass you. We won't stare at you. The truth of the matter is, you make that decision for the cause of Christ, we're going to rejoice with you. That's what we do around here. When people get saved, we rejoice about that. Her, thank you. Thank you. Her, you don't get the claps. You don't get the fanfare. You don't get the limelight. Moses says to Joshua, choose out men, go fight Amalek. Tomorrow I'm going to take Aaron and Hur up to the hill with the rod of God. Moses holds up his hands as a way of intercession. His hands get tired and he leans up against a stone. His hands get weary. Boy, falls. Amalek's prevailing. Boy, when they held up, Israel's prevailing. Aaron and Hur, they go ahead and see the man of God struggling. They step in. Up the man of God's hands. And as a result, they enabled God, they enabled Israel, rather, to have a victory that day. Because of a simple, what seemingly is a simple little act, is holding up the man of God's hands. We're all called to do that. We've got a local independent Bible believing Baptist church, and we're going to do everything we can to charge hell with a squirt gun. We got to do, we need everybody that we can in the front lines, if you will, in the battle, to go ahead and get the things done for God. Why don't you go ahead and be a part of it? Her, if you're a part of it in your way, in your seemingly small way, thank you. Our Heavenly Father, we love you, God, and I just spoke affectionately to my people this morning, this wonderful Sunday morning crowd that I affectionately call my Sunday morning crowd. I thank you so much for them. I don't doubt their loyalty to me and this church, to you. I don't doubt their love for you. I know so many of them just look, see in their faces, boy, they've called me from time to time. They come and get counsel from me from time to time. They call me and say, preacher, I love you. I appreciate you. I'm praying for you. Oh, what have you. I see them just in the backgrounds, not looking for accolades, not looking for hands, handshakes, and not looking for a clap of hands or limelight. But they just simply are following the will of God for their life. Just willing to be a her. And God, you know my heart for these dear people. I thank you for them. They're so very important. Behind every man of God, behind every successful man of God, if you will, there's an army of hers praying for him. God, I thank you for her. I thank you for this story, this account about this man named Her. You don't know much about him. But Lord, I believe because he showed up one day, he invested in another generation. I pray that every her would not look at their job as so little that it has, that they think is no effect to somebody else. There is an effect. Somebody is watching. I pray, God, you'd bless. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe you're here today, say, preacher, I'm not a her simply because I'm not saved. I don't know Jesus as Savior. I don't want to play this games that I am. I want to know for sure that I'm saved this morning. I will not call you by name. I will not point you out. I will not even embarrass you. But you say, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved. If I was to be honest, I do not know 100% sure I'm on my way to heaven when I die. But I want you to pray with me about the matter. Here's my hand. Anybody? Anybody? Then maybe you're here today. You say, preacher, I'm saved. There was no hands raised a moment ago. So I'm going to take a moment and assume that everybody under the sound of my voice is saved. You're saved and you're on your way to heaven. And I want to say thank you. If you have a what some would call a seemingly little position, I want to say thank you. And preacher, I want you to go ahead and pray for me about this matter, though. I am a her. I've showed up. I've done things. But you know what? I haven't been noticed. It kind of hurt me a little bit. And you know, the truth matters, it's affected my spirit. And I won't embarrass you, and I'm not going to point you out. And, you know, I love you, but I want to have the opportunity to pray for you. You say, preacher, that's me. I kind of almost frustrated about serving just because I'm not noticed. And I want God to forgive me for that attitude. Here's my hand. Anybody? Anybody? Here's some hands. Maybe here today you just need to, you are her. And you just need to come forward and say, God, just help me to stay faithful. Help me to stay true. Help me to stay diligent. Help me just to simply be what you want me to be. Serving in whatever capacity that you want me to be. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that you bless this invitation. I pray, God, that you'd have your will and way in this time. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed.
Let's pray. Dear Lord God, thank you, Lord, for church, for, Lord, another Sunday we get to come together and hear your word preached and taught, and Lord, we get to fellowship together, Lord. I thank you for church, for all that you do here every Sunday and every Wednesday, Lord. Thank you for our preacher. Thank you for his family, for all that they do for us, for his prayers for us as well, Lord. I just thank you for him, and I pray for him and keep him going and just give him all that he needs to keep going, Lord, and help us to help him, Lord. Lord, I pray for Penny as she comes up for this surgery, Lord, and for Carol and Deb that are going through, and Joseph through health problems and other problems, Lord. Pray for Doreen's daughter-in-law, Pam, that she would be open to the gospel and help Doreen to be that witness, or, Lord, lead someone to her, Lord. Pray for Karen, Joanne's stepsister, for her salvation, Lord, for this man, Mark, that just asked for prayer. No, nothing specific, Lord, but you know his life situation, Lord. I pray you'd be with him. Pray for the soldiers, the police, the firemen, and Lord, for all those that protect us, and the soldiers, and everyone out there that serves to protect us and for this country, Lord. Pray for Janelle and her being in the military and other things that are going on in her life, Lord. She would just draw close to you. I pray for Ben as well, being away from home, and Joel and Sean being away from home. They would draw closer to you through the absence of being home, Lord. And I just thank you again for church. Bring us back safe tonight and be with the buses as they go home. And Lord, just safety there. Be with all the kids and the teenagers, and Lord, all that have gone back to school. You'd protect them in school, put a hedge of protection around them, help them with their classes. And Lord, I just thank you for each one that comes out, Lord. I love you, thank you, and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.